If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect 1. Hello, friends. I'm Chris Welsh, and you can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, also on the same Instagram handle, and at InThisLeague.com, which will take you to my Patreon. I know, Patreons. But the In This League 1 / Prospect 1 has been around for quite a long time. And that's where you can get my newly updated top 500 prospect list. Yes, it was updated just a couple days ago. We've also got the dynasty list. Ranks are sorted out for prospects by team, by position. We've got all the P1 ADP information over the last 3 years of prospect ADPs and first year player ranks. All of that stuff is on the Patreon. And when you do it, you are directly supporting everything I do at Prospect One, and I deeply appreciate it. You can also get in on the GroupMe rooms. And we post all of the stuff that we do, whether you're getting into mock drafts or the P1 ADPs. The way to do it is getting in at InThisLeague.com. Today on the episode is Bold Predictions. This is an annual episode and show that I do. And what I actually think I'm going to do, I'm telling you this live as I'm working it through my head, is I think it's going to be a two-part episode because I kind of messed up some times and we had one I messed up and another with a guest that they had something going on. And I kind of wanted to get a few more people. So I think we're going to do this in a two-part, which I don't think anyone's going to complain about. So today on the episode on Bold Predictions for Prospects, Part 1, we've got James Anderson from RotoWire and the Tool Shed. It's Eric Cross and Chris Clegg. We're going to get their guys, their two bold predictions on hitters and two bold predictions on pitchers. This has also kind of been like, you know, it's like a breakout thing. But what we've always done here is we put some like bold predictions on it. You know what I mean? We throw these guys and say, all right, give us something bold to go with it. But obviously what they are laying claim to is this is someone that they really like. I think in the very, very early years, as Eric Cross and I will joke, you know, when we were going into bold predictions, it sometime would be like, who's a guy that has like a really high volatile upside and downside? That's our joke with Luis Medina sitting out there. But we got some great ones on here. So for all you guys that, you know, like to write stuff down, get your pens ready, because we are going to have, what would that be? That's technically going to be 6 hitters and 6 pitchers that you're going to hear from those guys. Plus, I'm going to give you my 2 hitters and 2 pitchers. So there you go. 16 players for bold predictions from some great analysts. And with a couple of people that I missed, instead of making a big, crazy, big, robust episode, we will make this as a two-parter, and I will get the rest of the guys that I missed into the next episode, and that is what we've got going on today. This episode is brought to you by the best dynasty platform in the land. It's Fantrax, and Fantrax wants to give you and your league the ultimate experience. It is their game day experience, taking you into the game. Here's what is going down. They're sending one lucky fantasy baseball league to any regular season MLB game of their choice, along with $1,000 towards travel and accommodations. Here's how you enter. Just create a new league, join an active league, or bring over your existing leagues from another platform for free. When you do that, use Fantrax.com/inthisleague. Make sure that we get some credit, friends. Fantrax.com/inthisleague if you're doing any of those URLs. But here's what's even cooler. Existing Fantrax leagues are automatically included in the giveaway. The more leagues you create and join, the more chances you have to win. Create one league, you got one entry. Create two leagues, join two leagues, move over two leagues, that's six entries. There's no purchase necessary, just setting up the leagues. You can get more information on their Instagram at Fantrax Sports and Twitter at Fantrax. Do it today. You can check out further details at FantraxHQ.com. But if you're setting up your leagues, they've got the best dynasty platform, so go and do it, Fantrax.com/inthisleague. Starting today is going to be very exciting, and hopefully I'm going to be able to do as much as possible. I'd also say what's not good is spring break is coming up for kids, but starting today is minor league spring training, and that's phenomenal because that means during game times, there's going to be minor league games on the backfields of pretty much every stadium. You'll have AA, AAA teams, let's just, for argument's sake, AA, AAA Rangers will go up against AA, AAA Royals. And then maybe that's at the Texas side. And then the low A and high A Rangers would travel to the Royals. And then you'd have, you know, vice versa. The Diamondbacks, highs and lows would face the Cubs and they would switch parks. So it's like any given park you go to, you're going to have two different versions of their minor league system versus another team's. And sometimes, and in some cases at ballparks, like the Dodgers one, that's kind of the best, because it's easily walkable, and that's where you could have four teams going up against each other. You know, White Sox could be facing the Reds, and Dodgers could be facing the Brewers, and then bam, you're going to see all these. What's great about it is you're going to truly see a lot of these minor league guys in action, and you're also going to get major leaguers that are going to pop over. Sometimes international guys that we hadn't really seen are going to get some action in low A, and just some of the big changes of players. It also kind of tells you, it gives you like a preemptive look of where these guys might end up at their levels. So I plan to be out at them. Yes. And the one I plan to be out on Monday, you're going to want to take a look at, because it's not so much the minor leaguers I'm looking for, but somebody else, Jacob DeGrom. So that's what's going to be going on, and that's what I'm going to be sharing. I'll probably and hopefully have a lot more fun information to share as I get to see games, get a lot more video. It's been a very weird spring training on access and how they train and practice, and it's been a little bit different than in years past, but with these games going on, these are pretty straightforward, and I will lock up and get as much video as possible and share it with you guys because, you know, being out at these games, I'm seeing a lot of different stuff. I'm going to talk about somebody that is kind of taking the world by storm that we got ahead of. And one of the big changes was just people getting to see him in person. Christian Encarnacion Strand is one of the biggest blow up prospects, I think, from spring training. Not, in, you know, like, you know, Jordan Walker is exciting and everything like that, but Strand was kind of in this one space, and just how well he's performed and looked and hitting the ball. You know, that's one of those guys that I jumped up. My new rank update is out at inthisleague.com on the Patreon. And I think pretty fair to say he made the most significant jump, because I had him in like the 80s or 90s, you know, somewhere in there. I like the hard hit numbers. I wasn't enamored with him. And then I got to see him and I was kind of blown away. You know, he struck this ball into center field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. That it was hit so hard, it just, on the ground, by the way, it flew past the center fielder, hit the wall, and he was able to turn it into a triple, which is awesome. That is exactly what you want to see at a guy like this. Makes really good decisions as far as the plate goes. Defensively, we'll see. And he's been playing first base, listed as a third baseman. So that's one of those guys that's really moved up. We're going to get to see Drew Jones in action, who I saw over at Diamondbacks camp today. That's going to be kind of one of the big, you know, guys that we're going to put a focus on. Josue De La Paula, there's another one. I actually got to see him. They were doing an inter-squad. White Sox were doing an inter-squad game against themselves, and the Dodgers were doing an inter-squad game the other day I was there. And they didn't have, like, everybody. I actually missed Dalton Rushing. But I happened to focus over on like the low A side, and there, you know, one team had like Wilman Diaz and I'm completely forgetting who, and the other team had Rendon Cohn and Josue De La Paula. De Paula looked so much better than everybody else on that field. And just think about that. Like, Wilman Diaz has been in that system for like two more years. Rendon Cohn was okay. Josue De La Plata, and it was so stupid of me. I was trying to just get a good picture and then do the video, and he first pitch smacked a ball and hit a double. It was right down the line. It was pull side and hit a double and flew across the line, and I missed the stupid video. So dumb of me. And he was in really good spirits because he looks great right now. That's another one of those guys that the in-person looks are really helping, so I got to make sure I'm on my video game and my big focused video game here. But spring training has been good, trying to share everything with you across the board. And this week and next week should be bigger than normal because really the minor leaguers are getting going. Some reported earlier and we're getting into some like pseudo practices and stuff like that. And then, you know, this past week, they all had to report and they were starting to get in like their full sessions. This is game time, baby. This is competitive game time against other teams. So it should be really, really good. And that's going to help kind of drive what's going to come up with the next roster update, because the next roster update is going to coincide with the beginning of the season. And we're going to get minor league season, which is going to be awesome and kind of change the entire scope of everything that we're doing with, our offseason. So I feel like the offseason has been so long. We really have like tangible stuff that's about to happen, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. So I'm pretty, pretty excited about that. And I know you guys are too. And I know you guys are excited to hear some bold predictions. So let's get to it. We're going to go to James. We're going to go to the tool shed, and I'm going to kick it off at the end and finish that out for part one. And I hope you guys enjoy. It's been I had a lot of people tell me this is their favorite episode because, you know, these guys are only given two players on each side of the, you know, hitting and pitching to choose from. So what's the logic? Who are the guys that everybody chooses? Who's willing, you know, who do you want to like put your foot down on for a bold prediction? Sometimes, again, like you can like another player a lot, but another player who's in the same mold might fit the build. Like this is a really good bold prediction. I mean, I'll tell you, I want to put Yasser Mercedes on this because, you know, this is my guy. I love the speed numbers. I love the hard hit. Haven't seen a lot of video come out from any of the early spring stuff. I really want to see if the bat has sped up a little bit. You know, I think he just demolished Dominican Summer League. And I really love everything about it. 3-4-5 slash guy, good hard hit. I mean, all of it I love. But I want to see if the bat is speeding up a little bit and the pitch rec is going. Because then it's like, my bold prediction was going to be he's a top 50 prospect. Easy. But I just don't feel like I have enough data in it. Like, in my brain, I would just tell you that. Like, that's how I feel he's going to go. But I feel like I don't have enough sitting behind me to want to put it on there, where there's actually a second one that you guys, probably a lot of people are going to hate, that I wanted to throw on here, and that'll be my bold prediction. But we're going to get to it. We're going to get to all these bold predictions. First up, it is James Anderson from RotoWire, and then we are going to just go straight in to Eric Cross and Chris Clegg, and I will talk to you guys on the other side right here on the bold predictions for the 2023 season prospect edition for Prospect One. Here we go.
Say, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
James Anderson, RotoWire, bold predictions. Let's go. What's up, James? What's up, buddy?
Oh, it just started snowing here in Madison, so.
What?
Gotta love it.
Really? It's like we're going to hit 84 degrees with sun and baseball this weekend. And you are what degrees with snow? It's got to be under 30 something, right?
Oh, it's like, yeah, it's like 30. So it's just cold enough for it to be snow and not rain. And I'm actually happy it's snowing up.
You know, fun fact, my friend asked me this the other day, because Arizona has this opposite trend. He asked me, he goes, in Arizona, he's like, do you guys get depressed in the summer? And I was like, you know what? Actually, yes. The depression rate is the highest in Arizona during the summer when it's 115 because we can't go outside, where most of the normal parts of the country, unless you live in California, the depression type of rates, and we air quotes on depression, everyone kind of gets a little bummy because the bad weather consistently and staying inside is usually in winter or even into this time, which you're dealing with. I wasn't even thinking it was snowing anywhere, James.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of took me by surprise as well because it had been decent earlier this week, but I'm sure it'll be in Wisconsin. It's so weird. It'll be like in the 50s in 5 days, probably.
Well, yeah, that actually sounds like Arizona. We'll do the big crazy flips and stuff like that. This is the annual tradition that we do here on Prospect One. Bold prospect predictions. We've done it for a couple years. I think I should have reviewed it with everybody. This is the individual interviews, but reviewed everybody at the top. James, we've got two hitters, two pitchers for you, but
you also have the name. So let's do a quick review. Last year, your hitters and pitchers on bold predictions for prospects were whom?
For pitchers, I had Caleb Killian and Hayden Wesneski. Okay. And then for hitters, I had Ellie De La Cruz and Kevin Alcantara.
Okay, so Ellie, absolute smash, who I just saw yesterday, by the way, and I am just blown away when you physically look at him. I feel relatively confident about saying this. Like, I know O'Neill Cruz is very exciting and stuff, but Ellie De La Cruz might be the most physically impressive like prospect I've ever seen. Like I do remember seeing Luis Robert in person, and he was a little bit older, but like he was such a man's like kind of buff dude, like that kind of blew me away. Ellie De La Cruz is built differently though, because he's not the skinny O'Neill Cruz body type. He's the height, but he is filled out. Like, this is a big guy. It's kind of Aaron Judge-ish in how it's going. This is a different type of player, longer arms, a bigger stride type of thing. But you smashed Ellie De La Cruz. I would say Wisniewski is a hit. Caleb Killian was not. Kevin Alcantara is an interesting one because you told me before off air, you're like, I went 2 for 4. You might have gone 3 for 4. Like, I'm trying to remember what the space we were in with Alcantara last season, because, you know, he still made a lot of strides. He had a good season. Really fascinating video someone sent me about him talking about the changes and the mechanics of his swing and stuff like that. Like, do you really consider Alcantara maybe not a hit? I don't remember what your expectation on him was.
Well, I think he's not as high for me as he was last year. Like,
he's lower in your ranks.
He's not tumbled down the rankings or anything, but I think if you listen to that pod and then you traded for Alcantara, you probably were hoping that he would be like a top 50 prospect at this point.
Okay. Where is he sitting in your ranks now?
In the 100 to 200 range.
Oh, is he really? Did he fall? Okay. I mean, I still have him inside my top 100, 273, 15 homers, 14 stolen bases last year. I should find this video and I should play it. It was this really fascinating video of him sitting and talking about the mechanics of his swing. Very smart baseball player in an organization that we really should give. There's both sides of it. Like, do we ding them a little bit for the top end development they've had on guys that seems to be failing, but do we give them credit for, you know, their ability to, you know, mature guys like Pete Crow Armstrong that didn't really go? I kind of think he's still a top 100 guy. So, okay, I could see in your respect why you're 2 for 4. Any thoughts on Wisniewski, by the way? I actually just highlighted him as kind of a sleeper this year. I was so impressed watching him in spring. There's something about the presence, the command he had of like 3+ pitches. I really think he's like a sneaky, sneaky pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good call, because you got a big league starting pitcher and you didn't get like a back end starter out of it. I think he's probably a 3-ish, maybe a 4. It's kind of a shame that he's not locked into that rotation. He could open in the rotation, but I think they should give him a spot out of camp, just because he's got some of the better stuff on that team. And
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Had success in the big leagues last year, obviously had success in the upper levels. So just the fact that you know, having a starting pitching prospect who has already had success in the big leagues as a starter, that's harder than it sounds.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So this year, 2023, you get to kick us all off here with bold predictions for hitters and pitchers. What do you want to do? You want to do both the hitters? You want to get the pitchers out of the way, or do you want to go back? I feel like we should do one position. Let's start with the pitchers. I feel like hitters are more exciting. So let's get, I asked you what you want to do, by the way, and then I completely didn't let you answer and I answered for you. That's a classic me thing. So let's do it. Let's give me your bold prediction to prospect starting pitchers for 2023.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Mason Montgomery of the Rays. I think he's, he's kind of got it all except for the, you know, super exciting velocity. He can touch mid 90s, but it's a fastball that plays well above the velocity, and it's, you know, he's a lefty. So he's kind of low 90s, but he's got excellent characteristics on the fastball. And, you know, I think he's going to have really good command. Had a 106 whip last year, had a batting average against of 196. And he just, hitters can't really pick him up. It's deception combined with good traits on the fastball. And I think he's a starter all the way. So I think next year, this time, he'll be getting drafted at least in draft and hold leagues. And he might even be getting drafted as someone that people expect to spend most of the year in that rotation.
Wow. What would be the bold rank prediction? Like, you know, we end the year with Mason Montgomery graduated in the rotation, or as a what type of prospect?
I think we end the year with him as like a top 60 prospect.
Okay. That's a very big, bold prediction. All right. Number two on the bold predicted prospect starting pitchers is whom?
Bubba Chandler.
Who has converted to only being a starting pitcher, if people don't know. He was a two-way player with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right. Which we could kind of all see this coming. I think he could have been, like, if they had just said you're a hitter only, I think he could have still turned into something. But I think it's more about just how high his ceiling is as a pitcher that they made this move now. And I think, you know, pitching prospects are going to break your heart more often than not. And that doesn't mean that Chandler won't get hurt or something before he gets to the big leagues or run into trouble. But I think he's going to have that sort of really intense buzz. Everyone's going to be trying to trade for him, kind of like a Tink Hentz type of thing. But he might even, like, he already pitched in full season ball this past year. So if Chandler stays healthy all year, I think there's going to be people ranking him as a top 50 prospect this time next year. And I really think he's got frontline stuff.
So that's the stuff right there is we end the year top 50 overall prospect, Bubba Chandler.
Yep.
And 2.61 ERA this past year, over 40 innings. He struck out 60. Really interesting, too, on those two-way players. How often it does just go this way. People forget Hunter Green was actually given the opportunity when he was drafted to be a shortstop and a pitcher, mainly a pitcher, but they were going to let they were going to let him like play shortstop and didn't end up happening. Brendan McKay did that, but then it leaned to pitching. I think of what's his name? Kelly, the Red Sox. He was like a two-way Joker. Player. Carson, but what's his name? It's not Carson Kelly, because that's the Diamondbacks. It was it's killing me. You're looking it up, so I'm not going to try to look it up.
Casey Kelly.
Casey Kelly. Thank you. Casey Kelly was like very predominant, like pitching, hitting prospect, and it just kind of leans towards pitching. It goes that way. I like the one on Bubba Chandler because he had a phenomenal debut as a pitcher, and it's something I think about when I think about Reggie Crawford with the Giants, by the way, of like, he is maybe the most physically impressive of any of the two-way players we've ever seen, kind of almost like a Hunter Green. I don't know if the big power, even though he really struggled hitting, will be enough for the team to mature him as a pitcher, but it always leans that way. So that would be how I would kind of view him. So pitchers off the board, let's move to hitters. Your biggest bold predictions, because you've now put two new starting pitchers who are probably not anywhere near anyone's top 150 as top 150, you making them top 50 to 60 prospects next season. What do we got on hitter number one bold predictor?
So I already have this guy in my top 50, but I think I'm probably either alone on that or close to alone on that. But I think Everson Pereira is going to be seen as kind of in the same caliber as, like, to me, I think it's more of a big four than a big three. Like, I have him behind Dominguez and Peraza and Volpe. But I think it is a big four of position players there with the Yankees, with Pereira included. And I think I think he finishes the year as a top 20 prospect and spends most of next season in the big leagues.
That is a huge one. 14 homers, 21 stolen bases last season. As soon as you're at Double A, you start clicking the meter of like any time could be any time. Yankees have a little bit slower maturation they need to do, and Jason Dominguez has been having a pretty good spring, which, you know, he's probably going to get that first shot. But I know you are a very big Everson Pereira guy, and you're saying top 25 or top 20 prospect this season?
Top 20.
Okay, top 20. That is a big, bold prediction. Everson Pereira with the New York Yankees. The final of your bold predictions is hitters. How are you going to, maybe you should have left with or ended with Pereira, because I don't know how you're going to top that one. Who's your last bold prediction?
Justin Dearden of the Astros. I think he finishes the year as an everyday player for the Astros and is a top 250 pick in redraft next year.
Ooh, baby. Justin, you know, funny enough, I can say this because this episode hasn't posted, but I've been sitting on the Scott White 2014 league. We're in our draft. I have one last pick coming up here, and that is going to be my pick in like the seventh round, 24 teams, but it lowers each round for keepers, and no one's looking at him, and I don't think anyone's paying attention to him, and that is one of my targets. Dearden, let me pull up his stats last season. You're saying he is an everyday starter, which – if you're looking at an everyday starter with the Houston Astros, you're looking at real production, 24 homers, 12 stolen bases while hitting 300 last year. And he did it across two levels, getting to AAA. And funny enough, he dominated the Texas League. And when he went to AAA, maybe something you could poke at is he was in the PCL and he didn't play well. And, you know, A, that might not be great that you moved to AAA and you struggle and it's a PCL. But when you look at the whole of his season, there's some pretty impressive stuff. So, I mean, how are we getting there with Dearden?
Yeah, I saw him live this past weekend in Florida, and I was just really impressed by his athleticism and physicality. Like, he's a really physical specimen, and he's capable of playing all three outfield spots. I think he's an above average runner. You know, he's got an interesting backstory because he was an undrafted fifth year senior in 2020, the year of the five round draft, and so that's why he's older than your typical real prospect. Like, he turns 26 this season.
Same thing happened, by the way, with Matt Mervis was in that same it's kind of infamously now he was in that same issue of the five round draft.
Right. And, you know, maybe they'll have a platoon partner for him. Maybe, you know, initially he was quite a bit better against righties than lefties last year, but I think he's got a chance to be like a 25 homer, 15 steal outfielder. And the team really likes him. Like, I know Dusty Baker really likes him.
We get past those numbers, it's going to be much higher than 250 in redraft next season. Might be one of those guys really taking a peek at. James Anderson from RotoWire, real JR Anderson on the Twitter. Your bold predictions. Another bold prediction. You think you go better than 2-for-4 this year with your picks?
I would take 2-for-4.
I would take 2-for-4. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever hit. I'd have to go back and listen. Like, I remember, like, it was like 3 years ago. I had Luis Medina. Me and Nair Cross were fighting for Luis Medina. It's something about the bold prediction. It is very hard. Everyone listening, very hard to hit. James is very impressive last year. Let's see if we could even break it more. James, thank you so much for your time and doing this episode with me. And we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Prospect One.
Eric Cross, Chris Clegg, the Tool Shed on the hot seat for some bold predictions. Oh, yes. I mentioned how Eric Cross and myself 4 years ago were fighting tooth and nail for Luis Medina. Sometimes bold predictions don't quite work out. Look at that. He's still out there. He's still out there for us if we want. You know what? I'm going to be the gentleman, Eric.
No. You can have him.
You're my guest. You can have him.
It's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, I'll let you have Medina.
I got a better idea. Clegg can have him. Chris,
I'm good.
Yep.
Ass.
Pawn him off on Chris. I like it.
All right. Well, we've been doing this show for quite some time here, the Bold Prediction Show. I know people really like it because I get a bunch of you awesome guys on. You guys give out some big, bold predictions on some prospects. They work. They don't. It's, you know, it's par for the course here. It's like, obviously, these are guys that you feel really adamant about, really feel strong. They can make big pushes. Sometimes we take these guys because it's like we want to have the big volume. Or like that was why the Medina stuff 3 or 4 years ago, if people probably don't remember, when Luis Medina was at the bottom stages of like low A ball, what was so intriguing about him was he was one of the most predominant strikeout guys. He just had massive walk issues. So what we would do is we're like, okay, well, Yankees pitcher, big, huge strikeout, huge stuff. If he can get these walks fixed, he might be a top 10 SP prospect overall. It never happened. And now he's an Oakland A, so wave goodbye.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. They work, they don't work. You know, no one have a panic attack and freak out about it. But what's cool is that we get to single out a few players and people get to hear who you guys decide to single out. And that is what we are going to do today. Two pitchers, two hitters from each of you. I'm very excited to have you both on. Clegg, are you sure you don't want Medina?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay, just checking. I just want to make sure. You know what? Let's start with you, my friend. Chris Clegg, you're going to start on the hot seat. Let's hear your two pitcher bold predictions. Can be positive or negative. Let's hear who it is, your breakdown. And then if you don't do it, I will probably push you a little bit to what is the boldest of, like, what is the rank or is it a crazy stat that they'll do? Let's attach it. Let's start with SPs. Who do you got for us for the first one?
All right. So I'm sticking here locally and going for a breakout for AJ Smith-Shawver, who has some similarities to Spencer Strider. Like, I don't want to throw that comp out like and everybody go crazy, but Smith-Shawver is really nasty. And if you look at the numbers last year, they're not really inspiring. He had a 5.11 ERA across 69 innings, but he did strike out 103 batters, which is highly impressive. And yeah, I think the fastball slider combo are both 70 grade pitches and he's got a decent changeup. We don't throw the changeup that often, but last year, the fastball, and not as much velo as Strider, but he averaged 95 on it, topped out at 98, but it has really good characteristics too, like really good induced vertical break. He can get some cutting action and some running action on it. He's certainly improved the command of it and threw more strikes with it. It improved throughout the year. The slider is just absolutely nasty. High 80s, can get near 90. It's pretty impressive. Like, just really quick, like, just dives off the map at you. And I really believe that he has the capabilities to take his game to the next level. I think there is a lot of risk in this kind of profile, too. And he could be a reliever. We don't know. But I will say, I think it's a possibility that AJ Smith-Shawver becomes a top 100 prospect and sticks as a starter. I mean, he's got a starter build and he's got two really good pitches. And I know that we always talk about, you know, the two pitch stuff and can it work? Will it work? Whatever. But when they're two extremely good pitches, I think it's a possibility that it does work. And AJ Smith-Shawver is a case where you look well beyond the stat line, the basic stat line. And there's a lot here to like. So I'm going with AJ Smith-Shawver as a big breakout, top 100 guy at some point next year. And I'll stick in the same division and go with Dax Fulton as my other breakout. Lefty, 6'6", 230. He was second round pick in 2020. They drafted him as he had TJ. Like, he had TJ and they drafted him. So he was out most of his senior year. He debuted in 2021 for a short stint, and he had some ups and downs last year, but he did finish the season extremely strong down the stretch. I'll pull up the numbers exactly, but he caught my eye in like August. I'm like, oh man, like Fulton actually is doing it. And I think that it's something to watch between double or between high A and double A in his final 52 and a third innings. He had a 2.06 ERA and 63 Ks. Man, the fastball velo increased last year. The curve gets a lot of chase. Changeup development is probably going to be the biggest thing to watch here. But when we look at the organization, like, what have they done? Like, they've done a great job at developing changeups. And I believe that they can do that with Dax Fulton as well. His fastball, it was low 90s. Last year, it set 94, 95 consistently. You love to see that increase. Mentioned the curveball, like just wipe out, just a ton of swing and miss. And so if that changeup develops, then I think that Dax Fulton could really push up. Like, I don't know to what level. I think he'd go higher than A.J. Smith-Shawver, but I'm all aboard the Dax Fulton train. I think he's a really good buy this offseason.
Let's get the bold prediction. What do you say? Dax Fulton, end of year, top 75 overall?
Yeah, I'd say top 75, and I think he could be a top 15 pitching prospect.
Okay, that's perfect. Interestingly enough, just to add to what you're saying, it is funny that it's like you take a pitcher, big body pitcher, which is something that this organization has familiarity with, and focus on what is the thing they might develop the best, changeups. Then you also go over to a Braves system where they were able to, obviously, I'm not sure it's even so much them as it is the prospect, but you have an organization that has had success with a two-pitch pitcher. So you have pinpointed two guys with good stuff in organizations that can feed both of their maybe positives or negatives. Two-pitch pitcher, Braves, they can handle that. They've done it. What is the development on the changeup? Boom, Marlins can do it. Both of those are very interesting ones you picked and some big stuff. So two pitchers to be the top 100 at the end of the year for Chris Clegg. Those are some deep names. And Dax Fulton, I feel like I get like a tweet about every like month or something like that. It's just like he's always coming up. He's always out there. All right, Chris, Eric Cross, you are now on the hot seat. Your bold predicted starting pitching prospects for this coming season.
I'm going to go to the NL Central for this first one here. Go Chase Petty. Is going to be a top 10 pitching prospect by year's end. You know, obviously when he was drafted a couple of years ago, it was like, all right, the stuff is there. The metrics are there, spin rates, everything. The data was just like off the charts, right? But it was very raw, and he still is. Like, he's still only 19 years old, won't be 20 until right around opening day, early April, he turns 20. Feels like he's already been around for a few years, but still only 20 years old. And the stuff is still very, very good. Like, he's even gotten, you know, better command control than when he did back then. Obviously, he's starting to get more experience, more innings under his belt. Has about 68 innings this past year between low A and high A. Oh, no, excuse me, 100 innings, excuse me. 68 in low A and 30 in high A. So combined for 98 and a third innings. And, you know, production was pretty solid, but just looking at the stuff that he has, it's a three-pitch mix, fastball, slider, changeup, all could be plus offerings, all have flashed plus at one time or another, and that you're starting to see that more consistently as well. Can miss bats with all three of those offerings. And again, like, the command and control is really coming along. You know, obviously the future home park, not great, not ideal. Very, you know, the most hitter-friendly park now. It's surpassed Coors Field for that regard, at least for now. But Cincinnati has a pretty decent, you know, they developed Lodolo well, they developed Green well, and obviously those are great talents. But hey, Petty's a great talent as well. Great stuff. You know, finally showing, you know, he's gone from, you know, a thrower to a pure pitcher as he gets more and more innings under his belt, gets more comfortable on the mound. So I think you're going to see a big, big breakout this year. Probably be in high A for a good chunk of the year. Maybe some double A. Like, they already pushed him to high A as a 19-year-old. You know, maybe he gets some double A time this year as well. So really, really excited for what he could be again. I think he's going to be top 50 overall and a top 10 pitching prospect.
That's a big yeah. Bold prediction. One thing I wanted to add, which I think is interesting, is some of those massive big spin rate guys. I also thought of Jackson Jobe. It's funny the lack of success they had early on. And I wonder if Jackson Jobe had like wild big spin rates, I think bigger than Chase Petty. But like, you don't see either of those type of players put up some of the big strikeout numbers, which also might be some control and command issues at lower levels early on. A lot of those guys are a little bit more prone to, you would think there's more swing and miss at lower levels, but pitching is so bad. A lot of these guys don't even know what to do with. So, you know, if you got big spin rates and you're not hitting the zone, you're not going to get guys swinging through, where once they find their command at some of the higher levels, they've been prepped a little bit more by the organization, you can utilize those spin rates to elite levels. Now, it's not for everybody, but I kind of, like, as you were talking about Petty, I was thinking, you know, he didn't even have, he had less strikeouts than innings pitched this past year, and that doesn't really jive with some of the stuff he has in the spin rate numbers, but it might be similar to Jackson Jobe, because this is a big power guy in Chase Petty. All right, number two, bold predicted pitcher.
This is a fun one, and it's kind of like a two-part prediction, because, you know, with Andrew Painter, obviously the news, you know, hasn't really fully broke yet, but I'm concerned that Painter misses a good amount of time, and Chris and I were just talking about this on Tool Shed about where he would fall in our rankings. So I'm going to go with a combo one here. I will say by midseason, Mick Abel will be ranked ahead of Andrew Painter. And that is not me saying that I like Abel more than Painter. This is a fun little prediction that I think Abel is going to jump. I think Painter is going to have to drop because of the injury. I wonder if he's out long term. But this is more so just me saying that I'm still fully in on Mick Abel. Like, you know, he's hinted at it at times. You know, he's dropped the walk rates, you know, from his days in the low minors. Still has the really good four pitch mix. I still see a future where he's like a Steven Strasburg type of arm, hopefully with better health and durability than Strasburg has shown. But, you know, he's got the big fastball, really good slider, really good changeup, serviceable curveball as well. Never gonna be a, you know, a low walk rate guy, but he's made improvements there with location, you know, sequencing, limiting the free passes. That was an issue for him. I think he had a walk rate of like 14% in the low minors. That got better. Still a big stuff guy. Still has even more projection on his frame. Could add even more velocity. We'll see. But so I think he's gonna be a big riser. And again, I think he's gonna be another guy that's, I'll say he's a top five pitching prospect by the All-Star break, by the Futures game, because I think he'll probably go back to double A for a little bit, go to triple A. And I think that full breakout that he's been hinting at finally happens this year, and he'll jump up into the top five of pitching prospect rankings.
That's a big move, big strikeouts. Mick Abel's dead guy. And fun fact too, his his dad went at me on Twitter. Not that he went at me, but because of my Drew Jones interview and the Drew Jones pictures I have of a super fractor, Mick Abel and his dad are avid card collectors. And I had jokingly been like, what do you do when you have a picture of the super fractor? And his dad was like, don't do it. Don't post it. He's like, if they did that of Mick, I'd have been devastated. And I was like, okay, I understand that. Drew Jones does not care about cards. Mick and his dad do, but Mick Abel, definitely a full service type of pitcher. Very interesting, big bodied guy, big fastball, good slider, multiple offerings, just has to cut the walks and the strikeouts will get big. I like that one. That's a very big, bold prediction that he overpasses Andrew Painter. All right, hitter time. Chris Clegg, you've got two hitters here. Big, bold predictions. Let's hear what they are and let's hear those names.
All right, so the first one's probably surprising because I've pushed back on this guy for the longest time, but I'm actually in on Ronnie Mauricio at this point. Where, and this, everybody's going to laugh because I've been the biggest
Clegg just, I'm sorry, Cross just fell back in his chair, by the way.
He almost,
almost fell backwards in his chair.
Almost flipped over. Yeah, it did. But Mauricio has made major strides. I'm not sure people have fully realized. You know, last year, the power speed element was huge. We know he's got big power, but in double A, 541 plate appearances, hit 26 homers, stole 20 bags, hit 259, but the approach is the problem. I mean, 296 OBP, like he doesn't walk, he chases a lot out of the zone, and those are the concerning aspects. I mean, he ran a 40.7% chase rate last year in the minors, and that's just atrocious. Like, that's numbers you don't want to see. But the good news is, like, the exit velocities are through the roof. He does make really good contact in the zone, 83% zone contact. So when he's swinging in the zone, it's good. He's just swinging it too much out of the zone. But that has improved. Mauricio was the Dominican Winter League MVP, had a great success there. And he's off to a really hot start this spring, too. And he's significantly cut the chase rate, the out-of-zone swings. I've been tracking it when we can with the games that are on the Savant game feeds. And I know it's a small sample, but I'm a bit intrigued by it. I do think Mauricio has 30 home run pop. I think he's certainly going to play down in an OBP league because the walk rate, but the chase has improved to the point where I think that Mauricio can be a top 25 prospect with the power, with the speed. And that's probably really bold considering somebody that's hated Mauricio for a long time. Like when the Mauricio hype was at all time high, I was really pushing back on it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Also, something you can do is always support the people that support us. Go and check out Sid's Graphs. Dennis Sidler at Sid's Graphs just completed. He was just out here, you know, a week or so ago, and I was hanging with him with Oscar Colas and Jackson Churio and Ezekiel Tovar. Just completed more signings, and boy, even bigger. Drew Gilbert and both of the big Braves rookies, Vaughn Grissom and Michael Harris. Finished up a Michael Harris signing, all his new rookie cards. He's got autographs there. Go and check it out, Sid's Graphs. .com, or you can check him out on eBay. He's got an eBay store, social media. Just type in Sid's Graphs. Some of the coolest stuff. And we just did a big Break This League event. If you like cards and all that, did a Break This League event the other day. We're going to do another one in about a week or so. And in it, we had a raffle for a Corbin Carroll autographed jersey, which was inscribed Corbin Barrels. It's like a one of one because I have the other. And that's it. That's the only ones I think he got inscribed so far with that. And we did that. We get amazing stuff we can put in those events. And we're going to have more cool stuff coming up. Jerseys. I'm on a little jersey kick right now. Awesome cards that are signed and more. And a lot of them via Dennis Sidler. So we appreciate that. So go and check him out. And make sure you're signed up on the Patreon, inthisleague.com. You can get access to everything that I got going on. And I would love to have you there. Make sure you follow me on Twitter this week. Like I said, I'm going to be sharing a lot of video. I will probably do extended video on our GroupMe rooms. So if that's your thing, you might want to be a part of the Prospect One GroupMe rooms as well. I don't 100% know this, but I do want to get one in to be like a season starter. I think we're going to try to do a P180P the following week. So I'm going to start the process of getting some of the industry guys, and we will be filling it via our Prospect One GroupMe rooms and on Patreon. So if that's your thing and you ever want to take part in it, you got to be on the Patreon to do so. We'll be drafting those, creating the start of the season, and we will add it to our cumulative 2023 ADP, which is just, again, it's fun. And I think it's helpful to see what an overall consensus look of the top 200 prospects is. And we do it with like really hardcore dynasty people and industry guys. So there you go. You guys can catch me on Rates and Barrels on Tuesday. I'm filling in still for DVR on Mondays. Tuesdays is our Prospect Talks, me and Eno. You can catch me on CBS and Fantasy Pros. We're doing three a week. I believe Fantasy Fest is coming up, and we will be doing five in season. So make sure you're locked into that, and always tell everybody that you love me. Maybe one of them will pick me someday. Someday. All right, friends. Thank you for picking me for this episode and hanging out as always. I love you all, and I will talk to you next time right here on Prospect One.